This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
And talking today with Dr. Beth Ricinati, the author of Braided, A Journey of a Thousand Halas. Now, Dr. Beth, you were saying that one of the things you like about baking the challah is that it gives you time to think and to be more mindful. How long did it take you to get to that state when you were baking it? Because I'm guessing the first couple of times you baked it, you probably were thinking more about what you were doing than anything else.
It definitely took a little while. It didn't take too long, though, because what I did appreciate the first time, even though you're right, I was much more concerned with how to actually make the bread, I really appreciated just the single-minded focus of it. And now I find that I look forward to it every week. And there are so many lessons that I'm reminded of each week that keep bringing me back to the kitchen counter. You know, for example, patience, right? The bread that I make uses yeast. And you have to wait for the yeast to bubble and to do its thing. And so every week I get this wonderful opportunity to be reminded that I need to just slow down and wait, which I appreciate because I sometimes forget in the middle of the week. But,
now, do you sometimes find yourself, because you said you turn off your pager, the phone is off and everything else. Do you sometimes find yourself in that moment while you're waiting for the yeast to be ready? Do you sometimes find yourself thinking, okay, maybe I'll sneak a quick look at my phone or make a quick phone call? Or do you try to stay in that moment where you are just focusing on the challah?
Well, perfect is the enemy of the good. So, yes, I try in theory, but I don't always succeed. And that's why I'm lucky, too, that I have this opportunity to come back again, because I wanted to be able to be in the moment and not to think about anything else, but I don't always remember. And the lovely thing is I get to try again next week.
So now, when you're making the challah, because you're saying you follow pretty much the same recipe every week, do you find yourself sometimes getting halfway through and suddenly realizing that you can't even remember that you've done the steps you've done until then?
Well, yeah, again, yes and no, in the sense that I no longer look at the recipe, for example. I'm definitely, in that sense, working on autopilot. But what I like to do is actually something I learned when I was a resident training to be a doctor. And I had one of our senior residents was teaching me how to do a procedure one day. And she laid out everything we needed. Much like, actually, I think chefs in professional kitchens, where they have a mise en place, where they set out everything that they need so that it's easy to reach. And that organization really impacted me as a resident. And I find I do that now when I bake. So what I mean is I set out everything that I need first before I start. Out on the kitchen counter, I have the right number of eggs. I have the salt. I have the yeast, the sugar, the flour, the oil. So it's all right there in front of me. And it makes it much easier to just be in the moment, because then I'm not worrying. Oh, did I forget the eggs? Well, I had already gotten the eggs out, so I don't have to worry about that. It's actually an easier way for me to just be.
Did your family learn fairly quickly that when mom is making challah, you don't interrupt?
Sometimes they help, which is kind of fun. Mm-hmm. If the kids are around, they actually sometimes chime in and make it too. But for the most part, they're really good at eating it and sharing it with their friends.
And I was noticing as well on the little bio I found online, it's not just the kids who seem to enjoy the challah. I think it mentioned you have a challah-loving dog.
Yes, alas, our dog loves the challah too. It's really funny, but it's not funny. She really does like the challah. We'll go for it if we're not paying attention.
And then you got to find something else for the dinner that night.
Yeah, exactly.
So now, you've written the book, and you said it came out last fall. When did was there any specific time that you can think of where you just suddenly decided, I'm going to write a book about Hala?
Probably now about 5 or 6 years ago, I had realized that this week, I was rearranging my life to make Hala on Fridays. I was making sure that I had time to do this. And that was because I had learned so many lessons and I felt so much better. I could not be the only stressed out mom on the block. And maybe if what had helped me so much, maybe I could help somebody else. And so I had the idea that I would write a book. And the much like Hala, which I make a three braided Hala, so there are three strands braided together. The book is really three strands braided together. It's part memoir, it's part my story, and it's part cookbook. So if you actually want to learn how to make Hala, you can read the book and you will, by the end, know how to make Hala. And then it's part sort of self-help, how-to, woven in there, some of the doctor stuff as well. And that's braided.
So now, when you are getting ready to make the Hala, do you maybe not deliberately blank your mind? Are there times where you, when you're ready to make the Hala, do you have sometimes something in mind that you know you is what you want to be sort of thinking about while you're making the Hala? Because you say you've gotten to the point where you don't need the recipe, so to some extent the Hala doesn't make itself, but it's not that difficult for you to continue working with the recipe. Do you sometimes find yourself having decided ahead of time, this is what I want to think about while I'm doing it tonight?
Sometimes. And sometimes I just go with the moment. It's become a mindful meditation for me, if you will. It's a time to just really be in that moment. And so, sure, sometimes I bring, you know, what if something is just happening right before. But oftentimes I try to really just be in the moment. And I'm so grateful for that opportunity to just take the 20 minutes and treat it like a meditation.
So it doesn't take that long to make Hala then?
To actually make the dough, no. I have it down now probably to about 20, maybe 30 minutes, depending on how much I'm making too. But then the dough has to rise. Mm-hmm. So I put it aside to rise. Probably an hour and a half, give or take, and then I bake it. So the whole, you know, it takes time. You have to sort of think about how you're going to fit it in, but it's not an overwhelming amount of time, which helps because I think it's important to have these meaningful rituals in our lives, and they have to be, in my opinion, something that you can sustain, so that you actually keep doing it. So if the friend who had told me about the Hala, you know, so many years ago had given me a very complicated recipe, I might have made it that first year. I don't know, but let's assume I did. I don't know if I would have kept making it if it were that complicated. But the beauty of this recipe, which is in the book, by the way, so it's not a hidden recipe. The beauty of this recipe is that it's really simple and it doesn't take forever and it's not complicated and it is only 6 ingredients. And then I can come back to it every week because it's not complicated.
Yeah. So now, on the times where you do have one or possibly more of your children helping you, do they sometimes have things that they want to talk to you about, and you get the feeling sometimes that that's one of the reasons they're willing to help this time, is that there is something that they want to talk to you about?
Well, one of the nice things I've learned about parenting is you can't always pick the time, you're right, to have a conversation. But what's nice about cooking, or in this case, making bread, is we're focused on something else at the same time. So it does lend itself to conversation, which is fantastic.
Yeah. So now, have there been times where you've been getting ready to make the Hala one evening and you've been sort of looking forward to having that alone time for yourself because maybe there was something that you knew you wanted to think through, and then one of the kids shows up and says they want to help? Is that sometimes a difficult thing for you to do, is to set aside what you had sort of figured on thinking about while you were doing it so that you can take that time with your child?
One of the great things about Hala is that this has been in our tradition for thousands of years. So I love the idea that I'm doing this behavior, this activity, making this bread, that will outlast me. And I want to make sure that my children have that as part of their tradition, too. So I think the fact that they're learning how to make it and the symbolism behind it, the history behind it, the fact that, you know, when we're making challah in California, I have friends in New York making challah, I have friends in London making challah, friends in Israel making challah. I mean, there are people all over the world right before Shabbat on Fridays making challah, and that connects us, and it strengthens our community. I really like that a lot. So if my kids want to come make challah with me, bring it on. I love it.
So you said it was probably about 5 or 6 years ago that you sort of got the idea to write the book. How long did it take to write the book itself? Like you said, it came out last fall, but obviously there is some time before that where it's going through the editing process and the printing and everything. About from when you actually sat down and started writing it, how long did it take?
It probably took about a year for the manuscript itself. And then there was the editing and the getting accepted by a publisher and going through all the publishing and all of that. It's a long process. I'm a doctor, as I said earlier. I'm not, you know, this is my first book. I had no idea. My hat's off to people who write books. I had no idea the undertaking that I was about to embark on. I don't even know, honestly, if I would have gone forth, if I'd realized, writing a book is not for the faint of heart. it's quite a process.
So while you were in the process of writing the book, did you find yourself thinking about the book while you were making the challah on a fairly frequent basis in that time period?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that they each have sort of strengthened each other. I mean, I've learned things in the process of writing the book that I bring back to making challah. I've learned, obviously, everything from challah is in the book. And particularly since the book has come out in the fall and I've had an opportunity to make challah with so many people, it's been very rewarding.
Okay, we're going to have to wrap this up fairly soon, Dr. Beth. How can people find the book?
The book is available on Amazon. It's available on at Barnes & Noble, really wherever books are sold. It is available. I also have a website, housecallsforwellness.com, a Facebook page, Beth Ricanati Author, and on Instagram, which is also House Calls for Wellness. So at all these various places, thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling in, Dr. Beth Ricanati, and talking to us about Braided, A Journey of 1,000 Challahs.
Thank you.
Okay. That'll do it for today's show. Have a happy and healthful week.